Bringing you real voices, real issues, and real solutions. You are listening to The Smart Hour online. Your global connection to uncensored, thought-provoking interviews and great conversation about what faces our world today. This is not mainstream media. This is The Smart Hour. Here you go. Your host, Tanisha Smart.
Hello, lovies. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Smart Hour. I am excited about tonight's episode. Today, I did a Facebook Live presentation on the book Naked, which is my latest book. And in this book, I'm very, very transparent about some things that have happened in my life and a lot of things that I've gone through just to show people the real me. We live in such a fake society, so I was just burdened to actually write this book to be real and to allow people to tap into or to get to know the real me. And in hopes, in doing that, hope to identify or for some people to identify with some of the things that I've gone through so that they will be empowered. So tonight, that's what we're talking about. We're going to talk about the chapter, The Lady Maker. As I mentioned to my Facebook Live audience, I'm actually going to read that chapter tonight when we come back from our break. I'm going to read that chapter, and then I'll go into some more discussion or just an extension of what we talked about today on Facebook Live. So stay tuned. You do not want to miss this episode. We'll be right back with you.
The Smart Hour, brought to you by Fit, Focused, and Curvy, knowledge for the complete woman, an environment for women to share and grow, offering tips and testimonials on fashion, parenting, cleaning, and much more. Be sure to friend us on Facebook at Fit, Focused, Curvy. Follow us on Instagram at Fit Focused Curvy and check out our website at fitfocusedcurvy.com.
Thank you for allowing me to see myself the way you see me. Thank you.
Nothing.
honest with you.
I admit it was hard to see.
It was hard.
Being in love with someone like me.
Is dedicated to people like me, those that struggle with insecurities, acceptance, and even self-esteem. You never felt good enough, you never felt pretty enough, but imagine God whispering in your ear, letting you know that everything that has happened is now. Every mistake, every failure, it's all gone. Depression, gone. My faith, gone. No self-esteem, hallelujah, it's gone. It's all gone. It's gone. All my scars, all my pain, it's in the past, it's yesterday, it's all gone. Your mother did, what your father did, hallelujah.
My nails solid. These are the thoughts that entered my head as I was at my friend's house one day when I was newly saved. Her child's father was there, and the moment he looked down at my feet, I instantly felt the rush of inadequacy from high school. You remember the story when the twin mentioned the obvious, which was that I was the only one that didn't have a necklace on? Yeah, that feeling. It was so real, I just wanted to hide. Perhaps it was just my insecurity, but I did sense the spirit of arrogance on her as she pranced around with her matching fingernails and toes, and I desired all the more to be more ladylike. As I mentioned, my mother died when I was 15, and even though there were women around me, I had not seen this level of femininity that some of the women in this new location possessed. Their purses and shoes matched. Their nails and toes matched. They kept their hair done. As weavy as it was laid. They kept their clothes trendy and fashionable. I had never experienced that level of attention to appearance in anyone, gleaning from her, though. I mean, because of my peers. When I was growing up, none of the female peers around me dressed feminine. It wasn't that there were a bunch of lesbians running around. It just wasn't the style or trend at that time for females to wear feminine clothes. It was the style for us to wear Dockers pants and polo shirts. We all dressed like that. After giving my life to Christ, I had a desire to learn more about how to carry myself as a woman. I didn't know that I needed to wear a slip under all of my see-through clothes because I didn't even pay attention to whether you could see through them or not. I just wanted to be in the presence of God. That hunger had me run into the house of God every chance I got. The last thing on my mind was what outfit I was wearing. The only thing I knew about smoothing undergarments at all was that my grandmother wore a girdle for church. I had no clue as to what the real reason was for that girdle. I was grown with a baby and saved, walking around in church with no undergarments other than my panties and bra because I just didn't know any better. A word would come across the pulpit, do the praise test at home before you come to church. All of the religious folks that didn't tap into this to know that a person would need to be given that correction and love scream loud with enthusiasm. Just so you know, the praise test meant that you were supposed to raise your arms at home to see if your belly button was showing the shirt you had on. If so, then you needed to change that shirt and not wear it to church. It just so happened that the day that that word of correction came across the pulpit, I had on a shirt that would show my belly button if I raised my hands too high. I was beyond embarrassed. I was supporting the business of one of the fellow saints one day when the conversation at the moment took a new turn and the words, "and put a slip on under your dress," were blurted out. Now, the conversation we were having at that time, of course, was not directly about me, but I knew from the way the comment was stated that it was meant for me. It almost hurt me, but I just took the information and made the change. I was either going to cry about the way I was being taught or quickly grow up, learn, and shift. I'd be remiss if I talked about undergarments and didn't mention the famous thong song by Cisco. This anthem was all I knew about thongs. Because I didn't know about undergarments, the only knowledge I had of a thong was that it was to look sexy in your underwear. As I was maturing into a young woman, God answered my desire to be more ladylike. He taught me about the purpose of a thong. He taught me that a thong would prevent your panty line from showing in clothing that had a closer fit than others. I never knew that. He exposed me to the perspective that just as your nails and toes match, it is nice when your panties and bra match too. I worked at a call center, and Saturdays were our dress-down days. One Saturday, I decided to dress down. Although others in the call center were dressed down, I felt out of place. The Lord revealed to me not to go anywhere, regardless of what day of the week it was, looking any kind of way. I have nothing against jeans and flats, don't get me wrong, but I should in no way allow, quote-unquote, company rules to determine how I will present myself to the world. I'm a lady every day. I needed to carry myself, wardrobe included, as such. Because the way I dressed at that moment didn't reflect what I knew about myself, I felt out of place. I knew in this moment that I had actually changed. I've learned many things about how to carry myself as a lady, and none of them came overnight. I was embarrassed, scolded, and looked down on, but God knew that if I asked him and submitted to the process, he could teach me how to carry myself as a woman of God, a queen. I am in no way an expert, but may I empower you to embrace your process and know that God is a good, good father. He has taught me that carrying myself as a lady has nothing to do with name brands. He's taught me how to get a single piece of fabric and wrap it around my body to make a shirt. He's taught me how to shop at thrift stores when I didn't have money to shop anywhere else. He has taught me to watch my behaviors and to try to operate with a thought well thought, a word well spoken, and a deed well done. Yes, he can teach his daughters to be ladies. So I have to ask you, does your appearance as a woman matter to you? Because it didn't always matter to me. Are there things you can or would like to change about how you carry yourself as a woman? And that would be the end of this chapter, The Lady Maker, and the book Naked, Because Truth Clothes Equals Lies. So with that chapter, I've just read through that chapter. After that chapter, the question I just asked is there, along with a little section for you to journal or to write down perhaps an experience that you've had like this or an experience or something in your life that you may want to change about your appearance or how you carry yourself as a lady, because it really does matter. I was talking to my Facebook Live audience today, and we're talking about the culture today and just where God has brought me from in this entire lady maker process. So when I got ready, when God got ready to bring me into the kingdom, well, I'll say before coming into the kingdom, I actually didn't have anybody to identify with. As I mentioned in this chapter, growing up in my neighborhood or growing up, you know, in the surrounding areas where I was, it was normal for females to wear docker pants and polo shirts. That was just the way that we dressed. You know, it was just the style or the trend at that time. And so, as I mentioned, even though my aunt was very, very feminine, and she still is, she would say to us, like, put a dress on. You should wear a dress, and you should do this. And I didn't want to hear that because my friends and my peers were not doing that. But when I got older and started to be around a different group of people and even left that state and moved to another state, I began to see that women carry themselves in a different way. So before, you know, I got saved, I actually went to the nail shop with a girl. And when we were in the nail shop, a little Kim video came on. Now, if I could just back up a minute, Little Kim was my girl. Like, I love hip-hop, and hip-hop, you know, music rules the culture just like, you know, just like it does now. It did then, you know. Music has a huge impact and influence on the culture. So because I wanted somebody to aspire to be and somebody to look up to, Lil' Kim was my girl. So this is not to bash Lil' Kim at all, but I love Lil' Kim. I still think that she's the one of the hottest, the dopest MCs on the mic as a female. Like, she's just skilled with you know, her lyrics and her flow and all of that. But it wasn't just that really pulled me into Lil' Kim. I liked the fact that she was feminine, she was edgy, she was racy, she was pretty. So that was my girl. That's who I went to. She had a level of feminine flair to her, but she also had this hardcore, like, I can be the only female in an all-guy group, you know, edginess to her. So I just really, I loved it. I loved Lil' Kim, and so that was my girl. So anyway, when I went to this nail shop with the girl that, you know, that I had met up north, we went to the nail shop and the Little Kim video came on. And so she said, I don't like to see women carry themselves that way. And so I was thinking, like, okay, well, what's wrong with Little Kim, you know? But then I started to think about what she was saying. I was like, oh, okay, well, what she's saying out of her mouth and the way she's acting and stuff, that's not very ladylike. And so that was the first time someone ever introduced an opposing view to Little Kim, you know, of Little Kim to me. Otherwise, I never saw it that way. And so from that point on, that seed was planted, and it made me want to think differently about what being ladylike actually meant. So when I came into, you know, this walk with God, that was something that I wanted to do. And so when I said, now I'm going to fast forward to today. And this is something else that I was sharing today. Culture still, you know, music still, you know, runs the culture right now, you know. So we have one of the latest songs, Bad and Bougie, out. And so in this song, you know, of course, these guys are talking about all this stuff and talking about females. And so we talking about guys. And many people in society today don't actually have, they don't know who they are. Men and women alike don't know who they are. So men and women are looking for someone to identify with. And since they're looking for someone to identify with, when a song comes out, it's like, oh, okay, they're telling me who I am. I can be bad and bougie. I can be this. I can be that. You know, so people identify and flock to that song or to whatever whatever it is that has been put out there. It has a major influence on people in the way that they see themselves. Same thing with Instagram. He even says it in the song, you know, talks about people, the females doing anything, you know, for Instagram and to be a superstar on Instagram. He says that in the song. And this song has over 33 million views. So people like this song a whole, whole lot. And it's like, but people like it because of the ability to identify with it and because people want something to identify with. And so I have to say that God had to reveal to me, you know, if it were not for him in my life and him going, taking me through this whole lady maker process, that would be me. I would be one of those people that identifies with, you know, bad and bougie and a lot of the things that are going on in the culture today, even the ladies on Instagram. Like I would be looking for an Instagram picture to show me how to be feminine, show me how to be, you know, who I'm supposed to be or who God created me to be. And we're never supposed to look at that. We're not supposed to look to other people to identify us. That identification only comes through Christ. You know, so that's why you see a lot of people on Instagram that look alike. The makeup looks alike. How people dress looks alike. There's a lot of things. And it's one thing to be trendy and fashionable and say, okay, this is the style and this is what's in. But it's another thing for everybody to want to get butt implants or everybody to want to do a waist trainer. And I'm not knocking people that do waist trainers or anything like that, but it's I'm just saying we should not identify with what people are doing or what people are displaying in front of us, because a lot of it is fake and a lot of it are actually lies. Now, I'm not going to say that I didn't have my moment when I was out there. Because when it comes to, like, thinking about the song Bad and Bougie, when it comes to the time that I spent, you know, with my guy, you know, when I was with him, it's like I did whatever I had to do. I helped him bag the weed and I helped him to do whatever I needed to do, you know, whatever we needed to do. If he needed to stretch it, I suggested, you know, putting parsley flakes in it. And so that's what we did. And now, of course, on the smoker's end, you're like, what? Put parsley flakes? I would be out. Me personally, because I used to smoke, I would be so mad, you know, if somebody, because that would make the weed would not be potent if you had parsley flakes in it. But on the flip side, on the business end of it, and me trying to have my guys back, and we needed to stretch this weed so we could make X amount of money off of it or whatever it was we were selling, he was selling anyway, I would help him bag it up. And so that was a brilliant plan. And so that's what we did, because it stretched and it worked, you know. But So I will say I had my moment of being, you know, holding my guy down like that or having his back like that. And I'll say that now, you know, well, I'll just reflect on my spiritual father. My spiritual father had a meeting with his sons, and it got back to me, you know, of course, I wasn't in the meeting, but it got back to me that he finds, you know, when you get saved, don't lose all of your street sense. You know, you gotta keep some of that so you know how to protect your family, know how to do what you need to do. Don't lose everything that you learn from the, don't lose everything that you learn from the streets. And again, though he wasn't talking to me as his daughter, that was good stuff, so I had to hold on to that. Like, I had to understand, okay, just because you're saved, you don't throw away everything that you learned. You know, you don't throw away how to hold your guy down, or you don't throw away, you know, some of the things that you admired Little Kim for. You don't throw those things away. And what I mean is, like, for lack of better terms, you know, the gangster, you know, the gangster that I learned in the streets, you know, I got to hold on to some of that. You know, I have to hold on to that. So instead of me, you know, helping him bag his weed or helping him bag whatever he's selling, I could actually fast and pray for him and warn the spirit. I could speak life into him and speak over his dreams and his purpose and speak to his destiny and decree a thing and watch it manifest in the name of Jesus. And then there's also, you know, being able to navigate in the natural and being able to war in the natural. When I war in the natural, it is like I can go into an establishment, and if I need to war or fight, I speak to a supervisor or a supervisor's supervisor or somebody higher up so that I can get the results that's needed for my family, then I know how to do that. I know how to go in and speak business terms or speak on the level of business with somebody. That's all the same thing as having that edge and that boldness, that for lack of better terms, that gangster to be able to go in and do what needs to be done. And on the same same token, when it comes to the little Kim piece of it, I hear so many men say that they want a lady in the streets, but a freak in the bed. So when it comes to that, I'm not going to be afraid to say I don't believe that. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, when I was doing the live video, I don't profess to be some expert when it comes to men and what men like or anything like that, but I have been married before. And I will say that I don't care how safe, regardless of how safe your husband is or your man is, when it comes down to the bedroom, he is still flesh. And I would dare to say most men would appreciate what a little Kim would bring to the bedroom. So when it comes to that whole piece of it and knowing the fact that you have to please his flesh, like we can't throw that away. And a lot of people don't want to talk about that, and it's affecting marriages and everything. And people think, okay, I got to be this, you know, stuffed up person and all of this, you know, because I'm saved and because, you know, God, because I'm a woman of God. But God knows that it's our flesh. Our flesh is not safe, you know, our spirit and you know, the thing, we walk with God and he's doing the change in our hearts, but our flesh is not safe. So when it comes to that, being with your man or your husband, you know, your man of God or your husband, I believe that not losing all of the street is paramount. Not losing all of the things that, you know, for lack of better terms, that you learn before coming to God or even, you know, that's paramount. We have to be able to do what we need to do and hold it down, even in the bedroom, even when it comes to being sexy, when it comes to being attractive. That's not being like the world. That's really just owning who I am as a woman and being comfortable in my skin as a woman and understanding that even if I am with this man and he loves me, there are still certain men and women are attracted to each other. So I will prefer to put all of my effort, not that I'm doing everything for him, because I believe there's a level of confidence that we have as women that is attractive to a man. Just the fact that I know who I am and I own it is attractive. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to men and women and being able to please the man, I believe that a lot of that we have to go into who am I and what can I bring to him in that arena? What can I bring to him when he's done preaching on the pulpit? Like, am I still just in this place where, okay, that's not holy, that's not safe? But the Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled. So when it comes to that, I mean, it's about really just handling your business, because if you don't do it, somebody else will. And when it comes to pleasing that flesh, a lot of times we can fall in the flesh because, again, the flesh is not saved. So when we're appeasing that flesh and doing what it takes to get that flesh satisfied, it's God's voice is cloudy. You know, you just want to do what you got to do, handle your business, and then after it's done, it's like, okay, I can hear God really clearly. I really can hear clearly. Now I messed up. You know, so I'm saying that to say, when it comes to the flesh, ladies, let's just hold it down for our men, and you can still be ladylike and let the next female know, no, you don't have to do anything to please mine. I got this. Period, you know, and so we got to have that boldness to know that it really is okay, you know, it really, because they really, a lot of men, I'm not saying all, I haven't been with all men, I haven't been with a lot of men, that's not what I'm saying, but I'm a realist, and I'm just real enough to know and to talk about what actually goes on in the mindset of some of these men, and it's not that I know, it's from talking to them and having my own marriage, you know, and a lot of things that came from just experience. You know, we can't just walk around all the time and be in the spirit. You know, as a woman, gotta come down and take care of that flesh, because if not, you'll have some females that ain't got a prayer or worship to come in and snatch a man from you. And as women of God, we got to know, I'm going to keep my body up. I'm going to be ladylike. I'm going to have my appearance on point. And when it comes down to the bedroom, I will be the biggest freak that he needs me to be, because this is mine and I'm going to take care of him. And God is going to bless what we are doing. And if anything is wrong, if we are otherwise minded, God, my relationship with God, his relationship with God will bring the conviction that's needed. But other other than that, no, I'm good. I got him. Everything he needs, I got him. You don't have to do anything for mine. And if it's something that's going on, I don't know why I'm staying on this, but if it's something that's going on, even when it comes to the things that you do to please one another, I think communication is key. Just really opening up and communicating. I don't do it because of this. So, you know, I don't do it because of that. I don't do that. You know, I can't give you oil because you just went to the bathroom and your Johnson was in the toilet, and now you want me to give you oral pleasures. Like, I'm not going to be able to do that. And the same thing with females. We have to go the extra mile that we need to go in order to keep hygiene in check and find out what he likes, find out if he wants you to be shaved or not, find out if, you know, if it's something else going on. Like, communication is key. And so I'm not going to stay on that really long, but I just feel that that needs to be said because I don't think enough people talk about that and enough people are real when it comes to that. So we can't throw that part away. Everything that you learn, you know, nothing that we've gone through learned should be wasted at all. So going back to the Lady Maker and talking about my identity in him, God has taught me that it's okay to be confident and not be prideful. You know, there is a difference, you know, and I'll say for me, I had to constantly pray and ask God to help me with that, you know, because I always had low self-esteem. And when it came down to, you know, walking with God and stuff, and they're like, okay, how can you have low self-esteem? I mean, I had low self-esteem at that moment. I was like, well, I do. I have low self-esteem. So God needs you to help me. I need you to help me balance this. Teach me how to be confident but not be arrogant, because I don't know how to do this. I've never walked in this space before. It was always the lower thing, but God has done that thing, and he continues to do it in my life, and I continue to pray to him. I've had people say, girl, you got it going on. You just don't know it. Yes, I do. I understand to a degree how much I got going on for me or whatever, but as I mentioned earlier, God, you know, revealed you have beauty, body, brains, and Bible, you know, but there's always somebody prettier. There's always somebody with a nicer shape. There's always somebody smarter and someone that's more astute and skillful in the spirit. So when you look at it in that, with that balance, then you understand I can't think higher of myself than I ought to think of myself. I have to allow God to always be at the forefront to help me to keep that balance and keep me grounded. So when people be like, oh, you got it going on, you just don't know it. Yes, I do. I understand the measure of what God has done for me. I just know the truth. I know the truth that, for one, pride comes before destruction. That's the first thing I know. And then secondly, I know that it's, like I just said, it could always be somebody better. So it's okay to have that confidence and to, quote, unquote, have it going on, but to be humble with it. Because when you're wise, you remain humble. When we are wise, we remain humble because we understand that anything could throw everything off. And so it's my prayer, it's always my prayer, God, help me to have the right balance and help me so that I walk in confidence and not arrogance. And he can send some things into your life that will, you know, allow some things to come into your life that will humble you. You know, it could be anything that could humble us, you know, to show us, okay, you're getting up a little bit too high. And it's not that he hates us, or it's not that he just don't want to give us stuff. It's because he cares about our soul, and that the ultimate goal is for us to get to the end of the race and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So that's the ultimate thing, for us to be with him at the end and for us to endure this thing to the end. And because he loves us and because he's a good father, he would say, okay, no, you can't handle that right now. As a parent, I know there are certain things I can't give my children because they're just not ready for it. You know, you're not ready to have this level of exposure. You're not ready to have that car. You're not ready to have this, because you still have to be taught some things and you still have to grow up in some areas. So I got to teach you these things, and you have to know that I'm doing this because I love you, so that you don't get out there and destroy yourself. And so when it comes to that, you know, it again is about being humble and really just understanding that God is the one that has made the changes in me. So he's shown me that I could do these things, and shown me that I have a measure of beauty, and shown me that I have a measure of this or that, but it's a measure. It's just a measure. you know, and I'm it's my responsibility to be a good steward over that and to always remain humble and remember that it's Him and not me. So when it comes to God, again, and even going back to this song, this Bamboozie song, you know, it's not to make anybody feel bad that likes the song. It's very, very catchy. But it's just, you know, really snatching your mind back and snatching your emotions back and snatching your self-esteem back from this culture and really getting grounded and understanding who we're supposed to identify with and who we're supposed to go to find out who we are. So when it comes to, say, for instance, a remote control, and I've talked about this before, but when it comes to a remote control, if you have a remote control and it has a red button and a green button, and you're like, oh, this remote control is nice, it can do this, it can stop the TV, pause the TV, it can do all of these things, but if you see that red button and that green button and some of the other buttons on there, you don't know what they do, you go to the owner's manual or you chat, reach out to the manufacturer, because only the manufacturer knows why those buttons are there, and only the manufacturer knows the extent of what that remote control can do when it's connected to certain things or certain devices. And it's the same way with us. I mean, and if you take that remote control and you put it under the leg of a table to stop the table from rocking, or if you put it, you know, somewhere else, you know, it's say, for instance, and you take the remote control and you put it in the doorway to stop, well, put it at a door to stop the door from closing. That's not what that remote control was designed for. And so people that don't know what we're designed for will put us in places and we'll end up doing things that we were not created to do. So when we get things in the culture like this song, Bad and Bougie, and other things, you can hear them saying, women, you know, my bees are bad and bougie. You know, you're thinking, okay, I'm not a bee. You know what I'm saying? In the past, you know, before I gave my life to Christ and when I was really, you know, looking for somebody to relate to and was really all on this little Kim thing, that was my response. If somebody said, who are you? I would be like, I'm a strong black bee or I'm a bad black bee. That was my answer. But if that's not who I am, so you're not going to come with a song, some of my bees bad and bougie, and talking about how you can sleep with this one and sleep with that one and how they'll do whatever for an Instagram Instagram fame and how, you know, you can give them a little bit of money and then you wake up in the jacuzzi to a two-piece and stuff. No, that's just like taking that remote control and putting it in the doorway so that it can't close the door all the way, or putting it under a table of the leg of a table to keep the table from rocking. Women were not created to do those things. I was not created to be your bee or be related to as your bee. But in God, I'm created to be a regal, humble queen with presence. I was not created to be a bad and bougie bee. That's not why God created me. So when it comes to the culture, we have to understand how to look at these things that are going on in culture and understand how to not identify with them. Because if you've truly been through some things and God has truly brought you through some things, you don't allow the culture, anything in the culture that's going on, anything a man can say, who came into your life, who left your life, whatever, you don't let those things define who you are. Your identity is in the manufacturer of who you are, your creator, who is God. So God, just like on that remote, or the analogy of the remote that has the red button and the green button, God knows why I'm a certain height, why I'm a certain complexion, why my hips are a certain way, why I speak a certain way, why I had to grow up in a certain environment, and what I'm supposed to do. He knows, just like the buttons on the remote control, He put all of those things in me. So when you push this or put me in this environment, I can do this. So when you connect me to this group of people, I can do that. And when you do this, I can do that. So if you put me in this form, I can do that. And God knows exactly what He put in. So when it comes to that whole situation, we have to understand who we are to identify with and who we are to go to in order to get what we're supposed to get. And what I mean by that is get to the destiny that God has in store for us, and get to our quote-unquote expected end, because only He knows. only He knows why He created us the way He created us. And if a person does not know, people will generalize you and call you a group of bad and bougie bees. And because you don't know who you are, you gravitate to that because you're really starving and hungry for somebody to tell you, who am I? Why am I here? Why am I like this? Why did I grow up that way? Why did my mother die? Why did my father die? Why am I only, you know, why am I the only child? So many things that we have questions about. But when it comes to walking with God, He can answer those questions. If you don't go to God, if we don't go to God to get those questions answered, then we connect ourselves to lies. And that is not, for when it comes to being a lady, that is not what God wants for us. So I just want you all to know that God, through God being my father and my teacher and my mentor, I am truly a queen. He has, and He's a good father. He's gentle with me. He taught me things where people were harsh with me. God came and taught me and spoke to me. This is what that is for, and this is what that is for. He's a good father. He's a good father, and He understands what pain is, and He understands what it feels like when people say things to hurt us, and when people say things being unskillful, or people say things without compassion, or people do things without compassion. God understands the pain that we endure. God understood. God knew that I identified with little Kim, so He knew that going into that church, my feelings would be hurt, but He allowed me to be put into that environment so I could come right here just like the button on the remote control and use that experience to pour into you. So God knows. He knows. He's a good, He's a good, He's a good father. And so with that said, and on that note, I just want to pray for those that are walking through this particular situation or can identify with what I've talked about and identify with the fact that they don't know who you really don't know who you are. And that's okay. It's okay to be real and to be honest with yourself and say, I really don't know who I am yet. I don't know. It's okay to be real about that. It really, really is. And that's where God can come in and begin to reveal to you who you truly are. So I'm just going to pray for you, if I may. And I will say, if I begin to pray in tongues, it's just the Spirit of God in me that wants to get something directly to God, that He knows exactly what to pray for, even when me and my finite mind, I don't know, and my human mind, the Spirit of God knows the heart of God, and He knows what God wants to be prayed for in the earth. God is a God that is, when it comes to the earth realm, He gave us dominion over the earth. And so with us having that dominion, He doesn't just barge in to do things, but it's through prayer that God is given access to make changes in our lives and access to do what He needs to do. And sometimes He will allow the Spirit of God in us to pray out His heart so He has that access to move. And so when it comes to praying for you, I just, there are some people that are really hurting from this thing, and they're hurting. They were hurt in the church, and they may have saw somebody's video or heard somebody's YouTube video or something that talked about them because of how they dressed or what they wore. And sometimes people just don't know better. You know, even if you're not in the church and you're working at a business or some company, you may not know how to dress the quote-unquote dress the part. But God can come in and teach you, because God looks, man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. But yes, to go back, man does look at the outward appearance. So the way that we carry ourselves really does matter. The way that we present ourselves really matters in this earth realm. And God can teach us how we need to do that and how we need to navigate through different things. So, Father, Only you have the blueprint to who I truly am and who the listeners truly are. You know what we need and what we lack at the moment. You know where you are taking us. Help us to embrace the truth that there are some things that we just don't know yet, and that is okay, for it is through our need that your greatness can be revealed. Thank you for finishing what you started in us. Thank you for finishing what you started when you fashioned us in our mother's womb. Thank you, God, for repairing and restoring. Thank you for healing and removing and flushing out all pain. Thank you, God, for showing us that there's purpose in pain. Thank you, God, for showing us that you know the way that we take. And just like that remote control with every button on it, God, you know exactly why you put certain things in us. You know exactly why you fashioned us the way you fashioned us. You know exactly why you put us in certain environments. And God, we submit ourselves to you that we will be the ultimate, the greatest version of ourselves. But we understand that we cannot have access to that, and we cannot be that without access to the Father and access to the Creator. We can't be that without access to you and you being able to show us why we are this way and why we are that way and why you put this in and why you put that in. God, we open ourselves to you that our lives won't be wasted and that everything that we're going through, God, you will reveal to us why we went through it, that we won't connect to someone on Facebook or connect to a song and allow that thing to identify us or define us and tell us who we are and that way be misused and mistreated and walk around with the wrong mindset our entire lives. God, I pray for the people that are listening, God, that you would pull people and snatch people out of deception, dear God, that people would not identify or define themselves by pain and the past and lies and limited exposure, but God, that we would open up in every dimension of our lives and allow you to come in and just be God, that you would come in and just love us, that you would come in and just teach us, that you would come in and just hug us and show us the way that you would have us to go in Jesus' name, that we won't allow finite man to determine if we're already up or if we're up or if we're on our way or if we're arrived, we've arrived. But God, that we would come to you, for you are the author and the finisher of our faith. You know exactly who we are. You know exactly what you had in mind when you created us. God, help us that we use every element of what you put inside of us, God, that we use every aspect, every characteristic, every minute part of our personalities, God, that we will use those things for your glory and that we will use those things, God, to walk out our purpose in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you. I thank you for raining down on us. I thank you for shifting our mindsets. I thank you, God, that we will turn our eyes to you and not to culture, that we'll turn to you and not to man, that we will allow you to identify us and not our past in the mighty name of Jesus. God, for your faithfulness. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Oh, glory, God. Thank you. Oh, glory, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. You're worthy of all the praise. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for doing what only you can do. Thank you, God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It is my prayer that this episode, God, reaches those, God, that you want it to reach. Even after you call me home, God, if there's access to this audio, God, that it would speak to someone right where they are through the corridors of time, that somebody would get access to this word right here. Access to this moment right here, and God, that chains would be broken and mindsets be shifted in the name of Jesus, that minds would be cleared and the lies and clutter and deception be removed, that we would identify with Christ and understand that it's only through you that we can be the best that we can be, that we can meet the express and be the top version, the best version of who you created.
created us to be, that is not found in man, that is only found in you, and it's only found in relationship with you. Father, thank you for relationship. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You are faithful. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. In Jesus' name, oh, God, glory. Glory, glory, glory to your name, God. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys, for listening in to the Smart Hour tonight. This has been my honor and pleasure to share with you the chapter, The Lady Maker, and really to be able to expound on that chapter. I want you all to reach out to me on social media if you need to do that. Reach out to me on social media if this is something that you're challenged with or something that you need prayer about or something that you even just want to talk about. Don't be afraid to reach out to me. In the meantime, next week, same time, same station, we're going to be talking about dancing with broken zones. That's another chapter that I pulled, you know, when through Facebook Live and with my Facebook Live audience. I pulled that chapter as a chapter to discuss. And so next week we'll be talking about that. And if you go to Tanisha Smart on Facebook and check out that Facebook Live video next week at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday, you'll have the chance to win a free copy of Naked, because truth clothes equals lies. I'll see you guys next week.
Been listening to the Smart Hour with Tanisha Smart. Real voices, real issues, and real solutions. Be sure to find and follow us on Instagram at The Smart Hour. Like us on Facebook at The Smart Hour. And tune in right here next week for more. You won't want to miss the time The Smart Hour will add to your life.